Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. I wanted to share with you just a little excerpt. I always do this when I start talking in front of you. You know that? I get, my tongue gets twisted, and the Lord just says it's just to keep you humble, Janet, so it doesn't embarrass me anymore. But I wanted to share with you an excerpt from a book called Let's Roll, Ordinary People, Extraordinary Courage. And this is written by Lisa Beamer, and this is what she says. Slowly, I began to understand that the plans God has for us don't just include good things, but the whole array of human events. The prospering he talks about in the book of Jeremiah is often the outcome of a bad event. I remember my mom saying that many people look for miracles, things that in their human minds fix a difficult situation. Many miracles, however, are not change to the normal, are not a change to the normal course of human events. They're found in God's ability and desire to sustain and nurture people through even the worst situations. Somewhere along the way, I stopped demanding that God fix the problems in my life and started to be thankful for his presence as I endured them. That is good wisdom, isn't it? In the midst of everything going on, our heart goes out to Pastor Phil from First Baptist Church, whose daughter was murdered this last week. This is the first time that their church is gathering, and the first time that the church would be gathering on a Sunday. And that would be a difficult transition to make without her. And so, Lord, we lift these congregations up to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort. And God, we pray that you are with them and Holy Spirit minister to every one of them and all of the families, Lord, that have been touched by her life, God. And we thank you, Lord, that I heard her girlfriend say that Amanda's desire would not be that the story would end here. And so, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you take this tragedy and you turn it into a beautiful story that touches many lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So continue to pray for them. And then our heart goes out to the people in Paris and all of those events that happened this weekend. We see the tragedy and the violence in our world. We need the peace of God in our own lives, or we will become ungrounded ourselves. And God has called us to be the light of the world. God has called us to be carriers of his peace so that we can give peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, not as the world gives." But God has a supernatural peace for us to walk in the midst of the most difficult situations and circumstances. And so this morning, we are going to take a look at a thankful heart. And we are going to read from the scripture in Colossians 3:15. As our video shared, in all circumstances, we're to be thankful. In the good times and in the bad times, in the difficult times, we thank God. And so let's look at that. Colossians 3:15. It says, "Let the peace that Christ gives rule in your hearts. As parts of one body, you were appointed to live in peace and be thankful. Let Christ's word live in you like a rich treasure. Teach and correct each other wisely. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing with thanks in your hearts to God. Do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always give thanks to God, the Father, through Christ." So we're going to take a look at these scriptures this morning. They tell us where a thankful heart comes from and what it can accomplish in us personally, and also what it can accomplish in the kingdom of God. And so as we look at these scriptures, I pray that each one of us come to another level of thanksgiving in our heart for the Lord. In the midst of everything we're going through, and I know there are difficult, tough family situations and health problems that many people in our family are facing. But you know, family is to stand together, right? Pastor Lisa reached out today and said, I need you. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for my son. And that's what family is all about. It is about standing together and praying together. You know, at the River of Life, we have always said we are real people with real problems who serve a real God who can solve them. And so you don't have to be all strong and tough and I've got it all together. Woohoo! Because we know you're lying. Because we know you don't. That's right, Ruthie. Because all of us go through stuff. All of us go through stuff. And that is what church family is all about. It is about walking through the tough times together and letting the peace of God rule in our hearts and being thankful. So we're going to take a look at how we can do that. Number one, a thankful heart is a heart where Christ's peace is in control. And the scripture said, let the peace that Christ gives rule in your hearts. And that word rule comes from the Greek word that means to be an umpire. It doesn't mean like a king that's ruling over a kingdom, but it is a little different than that. It's an umpire makes the call, right? It's like having a judge. The judge makes the decision. And so you go along with the judge's decision. And so that's what the peace of God is to do in our life. And that word peace comes from a Greek word that means to set as one again. It means to prosper and to rest. But to set as one again. I like that. Let the peace of God rule in your heart like an umpire. Let it decide for you. Let it determine. And let it direct and control and to rule. There are many umpires in our life that we can allow to rule our hearts. Right? We can allow the cares of this world to rule us. We can allow worry to rule us. We can let TV rule us. How about food? Food can be making the decision instead of the peace of God. Rather than allowing the peace of God to rule in our life, we just reach for another pizza or a piece of chocolate cake. Or let's see what else. Chocolate ice cream. You saw on the video they said chocolate, right? Oh, but we can allow many things to rule our lives rather than letting the peace of God rule. So also, we can have a desire to control. We want to control the situation. We want to control the outcome. And the older you get and the more trials you walk through and problems and circumstance, you realize how little control you really have. And it's so much easier just to surrender to God and say, Lord, have your way, and let go of those controlling reins. But we can't control outcomes. We do our part. Right, because we're going to affect the outcome, but the outcome isn't always what we thought it should be. And that's where bitterness can settle into our hearts, because it didn't turn out the way we thought it should turn out. Or we planned. We make big plans. You ever make big plans in your mind? Yeah? Yeah, you got all these plans. Woohoo! And then you actually begin to walk them out, and then it looks very different. And it turns out different, but you know what? God, if God is in control, it's going to turn out for the best for us. So the peace of God is supposed to control the decision-making process in our minds. So when the bills pile up, it's not the bills that control our actions or our attitude. Or when you can't make the mortgage, is that controlling you? Or are you letting the peace of God control you? How about if your health isn't very good? Do you let your body control you? Or do you allow the peace of God to rest in you? You know, you'll get better quicker if you can grasp that peace of God. They are discovering that scientifically, that when we're at peace inside of ourselves, our body heals. It doesn't have all of that turmoil going on. So the peace of God is to rule us. When you disagree with someone, when you have a fight with someone, do your emotions control your thoughts? Or do you allow the peace of God to bring wisdom into that situation? Oh, it's easy to let your emotions control. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some can just jump into that quicker than others. But we're not going to go there this morning because we're talking about peace, right? Let Christ's peace decide how you will respond to events and the people in your life. And Christ's peace has three different elements to it. One's internal peace, the other is external peace, and then there's eternal peace. So we're going to take a look at those three things. The peace of Christ, internal in our hearts, that's the peace that allows us to deal with the world. It's the peace that prevents you from giving up on yourself when everything around you is caving in. It's the peace that enables you to look at who you are and where you are and what's going on in your life and be satisfied with what God has done and what God is doing. That's that internal peace. That's getting in sync with God's plan for your life. God created each one of us for a purpose and a plan. And when we get in sync with God's plan and we align ourselves with God's will for our life, then God begins to connect the dots for us. So there's an internal peace that only God can give us. The world can't give it to us. Drugs is not going to help us. The latest, greatest iPhone is not going to help us. It's the peace of God. It's Christ's peace that he gives to us. And he gives it freely. He'll give it supernaturally, right? It's not something you can go to the store and buy. So it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how much money you have in the bank, or how much money you have in your wallet this morning. This is not something that we can buy. This is something that is freely given to each one of us when we ask the Lord, that internal peace, peace that passes understanding. And then there's the external peace. That's the peace that enables me to effectively deal with other members of the body of Christ, even though I might not agree with their theology, I might not understand cultural differences, but yet the external peace that flows out of us from Christ causes us to be able to work together. And even though we're from different ethnic backgrounds, from different economic status, different educational backgrounds, the Holy Spirit brings us together with that external peace. And men and women and children work together at River of Life because of the peace. Christ's peace is internal. Christ's peace is external when we see the members of the body of Christ working together. Remember, back to our first verse we read, it said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, as parts of one body, you were appointed to live in peace. So tell your neighbor, you have an appointment with peace. You have an appointment with peace. And you know, as a pastor, I am to watch over the body of Christ and to bring peace into situations. But Paul is not talking to pastors in this passage. He's talking to a local church. So this passage is for us as a local church. So this external peace, it's letting Christ's peace be the ruling factor in our relationships with one another. Because we make up that decision, I'm not going to let our differences come between us. We're all different here. River of Life has always had a group of different folks from different, very wealthy, those that don't have very much wealth, those that are highly educated, those that don't have very much education. That's who God has always brought here and put together. Those that are really strong, those that are handicapped. That's our family. That's who God brought in. We're very different. We could fight all the time. You know that? You're sitting there right now thinking of something that's so different. You could fight about it. But God's called us to peace. He's called us to be at peace with one another. So we make the decision that I'm going to work to make sure that our differences enhance our effectiveness rather than limit our effectiveness. You see, if the enemy can get you all stirred up and fighting with each other, then it limits our effectiveness. Our differences actually make us stronger, unique. You know, God's the one that puts it all together. So he's telling us that we're to work in peace, and it's not an option because it's a necessity. So if you call this your home church, whether you've gone through membership class or not, then you're a part of the process of working together and to be effective. That external peace. And like I shared, Paul wasn't writing to pastors, he was writing to people. We don't all have to have the same idea. Actually, in Team Workshop, we found out it's really good when you have a group of people with on a team with different ideas and you begin to put that together. It creates that synergy. And all the parts come together in teamwork. But if you don't have peace on the team, it's pretty hard to have an effective team, isn't it, Pastor Toby? Yeah, he's our coach, Toby. He knows all about this stuff. He's done it for years. What we know about is putting together church teams and encouraging people to work together on their team and keeping peace. Peace is a high element in my life. I like peace. How many people here like peace? I fired a person in my groom shop one day, and she asked me why. I said, because you're disturbing my peace. And I was done with it. You're out of here. You know, Donald Trump, you're fired. Peace is a high priority. Nobody likes to go to work and there not be peace. Amen. Amen. So, you know, you work at relationships, and of course we can't fire anybody here. We let God get a hold of you. If you're causing trouble, God will get a hold of you. At home, you can ground your kids if they're disrupting the family, right? Can you still ground kids? Yeah. Peace, it's a high priority because everything works better in that atmosphere. Let's go on. God's calling us to go in a direction that promotes peace because it is so contrary to what the world is advertising. You know, there is so much violence on TV and in movies. So much violence. Everything is violent and really uncalled for. Really uncalled for. And we're seeing our culture begin to act out what they have watched. Although they keep saying that does not affect us mentally, it does affect you mentally. It does affect you mentally. And pretty soon, whatever you're taking in is what you become. So you're being discipled either by the Holy Spirit and God's truth, or you're being discipled by the world. And so the peace of God is like, for us as the church, when we walk in peace, it's so different from the world. And that's why God wants peace among the congregation, so that when people come in to that atmosphere, they're like, ooh, there's something different about this. You know, who wants to go to a place where everybody's fighting? You can do that in the bar, and you can do that anywhere. You can join the Knights of Columbus, you know? You can be a part of a club anywhere, but there has to be something that draws people to the presence of God for a life-changing experience. And that's God's peace. So the third way Christ shows his peace is the eternal peace. And if you write down the scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:9, I don't think it's on the PowerPoint, it says, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Say, he's faithful. Since the Father has called us into a relationship with Jesus, we now have peace with God, and that will last forever. We were once enemies with God. That's Romans 5:1. At one time, we were enemies with God, but now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is this eternal peace that allows me to have the internal peace and the external peace. Do you see how it all works together? Paul said then at the end of that very first verse that we read, he said, be thankful. Be thankful. Because a grateful heart and a thankful heart completely changes a situation. I had a list here of a few of them that I think you can relate to. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little snug because it means I have plenty to eat. Amen, huh? I hear amens over there. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. Amen. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I am capable of walking. Amen. I'm thankful for my heating bill, because it means I am warm. I am thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government, because it means I have freedom of speech. Oh, this is a good one. I am thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key, because it means that I can hear. So anyone want to be thankful, just sit right here in this second pew. I am thankful when the alarm goes off early in the morning because it means that I'm alive. I'm thankful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I have been productive. Now that totally reframes it, doesn't it? Totally reframes it. And so often we need God to reframe how we're looking at a situation so that we can have a thankful and grateful heart. The more thanks, the more peace. The less thanks, the less peace. The two are in direct proportion to one another. So we are to have a thankful, grateful heart in every circumstance. We're not happy about the circumstance, but we are thankful that God is in that circumstance with us, right? He's walking with us. All right, and then a thankful heart is a heart where Christ's word is overflowing. I got to go back to my scriptures. That's Colossians 3:16, which we read at the beginning. Let Christ's word live in you like a rich treasure. Teach and correct each other wisely. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Sing with thanks in your hearts. So those are the four aspects of verse 16. And it says, let the word of God live in you. Now, there's a difference between let me give this as an example. There are people that have come and stayed in our house, and they're guests in our house. They may they stay for a few days, but they don't have a permanent residence there. So they don't have the right to come in and rearrange the furniture or change the decorations. The only one that might do that's Vanessa. And she's coming home this weekend, so you'll see her next Sunday. Her and the girls will be here for Thanksgiving. But they don't have the right to do that. They might stay there for a few nights, but they're a guest in your home. But we're talking about living in your home. That's a whole lot different. It's a whole different story when someone lives there, dwells there, is a permanent resident there. And that's what the scripture is saying. The word of God is to be a permanent resident in our life. It's to live in us. In him we live and move and have our being. And the only way that word gets in there is by studying. The only way it gets in there is by reading the Bible. It just doesn't drop in there osmosis. You know, and we can pray, Holy Spirit, give me a download. Well, the download will come when you've read the word, you know. It's like we do have to make an effort there. And when we do, God honors it. He honors it. So it's to live in us, and it is to help us make decisions in our life. So whatever you're rich in is going to help you make decisions. You know, if you're rich in love, then you're just going to love, right? If you're rich in mercy, you're going to show mercy. If you're rich in the word of God, you will have wisdom to make the decisions, the difficult decisions. Anybody make a few difficult decisions in lifetime here? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without the word of God, how do we do that? You know, we need his word in us to make decisions. So let it live in you richly, like a rich treasure. We will be like the people in these verses. We're going to go to Psalm 1, and this isn't on your PowerPoint. If we'll let God's word dwell in us richly, let's go to Psalm 1. We should get in the habit of bringing our Bibles, using our Bibles. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who walks not in the control of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. When the word of God dwells in us richly, this is a picture of that. And then Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. God's promises in his word. I heard a teacher on, and it was a Christian teacher on the radio this week, say, well, I'm not going to use the word meditate because people get the wrong idea when I say meditate. And it kind of bothered me because the inventor of meditation was God. And he tells us to meditate upon his word. Now, the New Age might have taken that, and the Buddhist priest might have taken that and did something else with their meditation, but we're supposed to meditate. We are to meditate upon the word of God. And the word meditate just simply means to say it over and over again. It means to mutter, to say it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you take the word of God and you just say it. Just say it over and over again. Just keep saying it till you get it, till it becomes living in you, right? The word of God lives in us, and we're to meditate on it. So let's go on. It says also in that verse to teach and correct each other wisely. And teaching is communication. It's teaching us how to live and how not to live. You know what to do, what not to do. That's what you do in a family at home, right? You teach your children, and the family works at what is correct behavior, what's improper behavior. This is what we do in this situation. It is the same thing in the church. God designed for churches to be families. Within the family, we learn what is appropriate behavior that honors God. What is it that we are to do, and what is it we're not to do? So we teach one another. We admonish one another. This word in the NIV says correct, and in the King James it says admonish, and that comes from a Greek word that means to warn one another. It means to warn you about your beliefs. If you are heading down a trail of deception, you can be sure Elder Jim will be on you, right? You will receive some instruction from the word of God. Why? Because that's what families do. Because we love one another. And it doesn't have to be Elder Jim. It can be whoever is praying with you and encouraging you. We grow together in the word of God. And no one has all the truth but God. And so he teaches us usually as we go. Usually we experience something and then God will teach us about it, right? Yeah, that's just how he does you. So admonish means to warn, and that's not it actually means to confront with the truth. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So there is a place for singing, to make that joyful noise, and to be thankful even if the lady behind you sings off key. Hallelujah. And we sing those songs with thanks and with grace unto God. Singing together. Hallelujah. Sing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So if the word of Christ is going to dwell in us, then we're going to do more than just read a verse or two a day from the Bible. But we are going to study it, meditate on it, memorize it. And out of that comes a thankful heart. And the last one, a thankful heart is a heart where Christ's name is lifted up. Verse 17 says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always give thanks to God the Father through Christ. That means everything, including going to school, working on the job, parenting, driving down the road, grocery shopping, paying the bills, do it all. That means everything, every part of everything is to be done in the name of Jesus. So when you bring Jesus into every situation, you may reconsider how you're going to act or approach a person. But in everything, we give him thanks. In closing today, we're going to read together Psalm 100. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. And for the next two Sundays, we'll continue our Thanksgiving series. And the last Sunday of the month is Family Sunday. And I would enjoy hearing some of the things that you are thankful for. If we can share on that Sunday morning, I just need to know who you are and what it is you want to be thankful for. And then we can put it all together. And on that Sunday, we're going to mix in some praise and worship, some testimonies, and just enjoy God's presence, because there is a song of thanksgiving, and it's a song that conquers, because when we are thankful, our attitude changes. When we are thankful, we receive strength. When you complain, you just get tired, don't you? Think about it. It is a downward spiral. It's a downward spiral. You might get worked up for a little while in your complaining and get into a high energy state, but boy, once you use all that adrenaline, you just get wiped out. So that's what we're going to do the last Sunday of the month. So if you have a testimony, let me know. Psalm 100. Are you ready to read it together? It's a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving. And that Hebrew word is todah. And it is an extension of the hand in adoration unto the Lord. And it specifically means a group of people praising God. So let's all stand this morning. And I'm going to ask if the praise team will get ready. We're going to close with a song. And as we're getting ready, I'm going to read a list from Troy Mason. He says, "The art of thanksgiving, it is gratitude in action. It is thanking God for the gift of life by living it triumphantly. It is thanking God for your talents and abilities by accepting them as obligations to be invested for the common good. It is thanking God for all the men and women have done for you by doing things for others. It is thanking God for happiness by striving to make others happy. It is thanking God for beauty by helping to make the world more beautiful. It is thanking God for inspiration by trying to be an inspiration to others." Hallelujah.